Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Saturday. He's armed with a week's worth of talking points and got up early for your listening pleasure. So kick back and enjoy all the immensity, the potency, and the intensity that is the Robin Lundberg Show. Here's the man so charismatic, we named the show after him, Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. And you know, yesterday was New Year's Day, so I'd be remiss if I didn't wish everyone a Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody out there. But today is also a day. I don't know if you know it, because this is the first ever of it. You know, it's the inaugural version of this day. I mean, we have New Year every year. I get it. This year, like, a little different. People were like, come on. They want to put 2020 in the rearview mirror. Start moving forward. Better vibes in 2021. You know, 2020, a lot of garbage in 2020. So, New Year every year. People celebrate. People, you know, you're used to that day. And that's one of the main days on the calendar, right? I mean, if you're power ranking days on the calendar, is Christmas number one? Well, no, maybe it's not, because there's a lot of people that don't celebrate Christmas. But it's up there. You know, New Year's is up there. July 4th, Memorial Day. You know, I guess any day you have off from work would be one that people would put up there. So, your birthday. Your birthday is probably number one on everybody's power ranking. But today is a day as well. January 2nd, 2021. The first ever Dunk on Dabo Swinney Day. Today is Dunk on Dabo Swinney Day, because everybody is sure dunking on Dabo Swinney today, after the coach of Clemson had said Ohio State was ranked 11th, or should be ranked 11th. That's where he'd have them. I don't know if you guys know this, but they didn't play as many games as everybody else. And, like, it's not that hard to see the logic, right? Like, when he says he doesn't think it's about the quality of their team, it's not that hard to understand what he's saying. A bunch of teams played more games. But at the same time, you're supposed to pick the four best teams. And Ohio State, clearly one of the four best teams, and clearly better than Alabama after they spanked him yesterday. 49-28, they got Alabama next. So it just makes that comment look even more ridiculous. I mean, the comment was ridiculous in the first place. And Dabo said a lot of stuff in recent times that's rubbed some people the wrong way. Some, you know, more serious than other things. This is obviously completely trivial. This is the kind of thing that, you know, who cares that he ranked them 11th? But it is the type of comment that will rile up a fan base and will make you look bad right after it. Because I don't think anybody – I mean, the number one story I see in a lot of sports websites is that he doesn't regret saying that. Like, that's the story coming out of the game. There's a few others, of course, and we're going to get to that in a second. But I just – Dabo has this – air of arrogance about him, I would say. Like, this, like, you know, he tries to that aw shucks arrogance almost, in a way. And look, he's earned a lot of it. The guys, whatever you want to say about him, you can't say he hasn't done a great job as coach of Clemson. I mean, that would just be incorrect. That would just be factually incorrect. But the fact that he would make that statement and then get smacked by Ohio State, of course, you know, especially in this social media era, it's going to lead to lots of jokes at his expense. Lots of jokes at his expense. And of course, you know, the circumstances of the season were so wildly different. And if I'm being fully, you know, transparent, it's, you know, the college football season felt weirder to me than any other season. Maybe it's because I'm not as big, you know, I'm a bigger pro sports fan than I am a college sports fan. Just is what it is. And, you know, therefore, it's not the top of my radar anyway. But it just felt, with all the times that the games were moved and the uneasiness about whether that should be the sport that plays, given that they're unpaid and everything else, it just felt like most of that college football season flew under the radar in a lot of ways. And, of course, Ohio State didn't start their season until later, but they sure are finishing it. And in that game as well, aside from Dabo Swinney, you have to look at the storyline of the quarterback for Ohio State and Justin Fields. I mean, this guy who took a shot early in the game and continued to play and played very well, 22 of 28 for 385 yards and six touchdowns. Six touchdowns. Also rushed a, you know, handful of times for 42 yards. He can get out and run a little bit and move. Obviously, after he took that hit, you know, you didn't expect him to take off running too much more. But he looked really good and improved his draft stock if it really needed to be improved. I mean, you got to be thinking long and hard at number two about Justin Fields. Heck, you know, outplaying Trevor Lawrence head-to-head, there's always going to be some people who say, you know, is Trevor Lawrence really the, you know, all that, blah, blah, blah. You always get that skepticism when somebody's been pegged as the number one pick for so long and then in a big game head-to-head gets outplayed. And I'm not like Lawrence was bad. He was 33 or 48 for 400 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. It's just Fields was sensational in that game. And I wonder, Jets fans out there who were crying, just crying and crying after they won their first game of the season, which I thought was like a little embarrassing, to be honest. Not no diss to any of the Jets fans out there, because it's like, you know, who were you mad at in that moment? That's what I didn't understand. It's not like the team is going to throw the game. It's not like the coaches are going to throw the game. The Jets have been I get it. You were close to having that, winless season and getting the number one pick. Like, I understand the ramifications. It's not like I don't understand the why. But in that moment, I just don't get where that angst was directed. And sometimes I feel like it's like almost showy, like, you know, we're a pained fan base. We're going to show you how much it sucks to wallow in misery. But if you're a Jets fan, I don't know if you feel too bad about sitting there in the position you're in now. If they wind up picking number two, a lot of options. I think I would select a quarterback. Sam Darnold, I get it. He hasn't had the greatest circumstances around him, but he also hasn't shown me anything that makes me believe he's a top shelf starting quarterback. So I'd be thinking long and hard about Justin Fields if I'm the New York Jets. Anthony, you're a Jets fan. How do you feel about – did you watch Fields last night? Are you thinking about him at number two now? Is that
well, of course. I mean, the guy had a great game last night. It's also – it's hysterical how there are people now going goo-ga-ga-ga over Justin Fields when, you know, a couple weeks ago after the Indiana game this year, after the Northwestern game, they were burying the guy. Zach Wilson has a great year at BYU, did a great job in the Book of Tone Bowl, put up ridiculous numbers, and people had Zach Wilson going over Justin Field, and all of a sudden again after last night, people back on the Justin Fields bandwagon, and now people debating, oh, you know, could the Jaguars maybe take Justin Fields instead of Trevor Lawrence? So, you know, again, let's see what happens. Of course, he had a great game last night. Let's see how he does against Alabama. If he lights up Alabama, you know, then maybe we can have a conversation.
That's officially it. That's like he cashes it in if he lights up Alabama In the championship game. I mean, look, in Alabama is a tough test, obviously, right?
But yeah, listen, he was great last night, Justin Fields. I mean, he saw the arm, great arm strength, the accuracy, did a tremendous job last night. Showed toughness and grit dealing with the ribs. So he was very impressive. But again, it's just funny, not too long ago, people were burying the guy after he had some awful games. And now – all of a sudden people are trying to jump back on the Justin Fields bandwagon and, again, debating whether or not maybe the Jaguars should consider now taking Fields. So who knows?
Well, you know,
but again, the Jets are in great position because, again, if the Jaguars want to go take Justin Fields, thank you very much. I'll take Trevor Lawrence. I'll be fine with that. Again, we'll see how Justin Fields does against Alabama and the national championship game. So, you know, he's looking like that wouldn't be too bad at number two, possibly. And then maybe, again, maybe there's a team that really winds up falling in love with Fields and maybe they're willing to trade a bunch to move up in the draft at number two. So either way, I think the Jets are in really good position. They'll have a pick of one of the two quarterbacks, or they could possibly trade out of that pick at number two.
It wasn't worth crying over.
It's easy to say now after what we saw. Again, this is just because you're just saying that now because of what Fields did last night.
That's the only reason. I said it the day after.
Well, that's stupid because the Jets won a meaningless game when they had a chance possibly at grabbing maybe the best might wind up being the best QB in his generation, possibly.
But the Jets didn't care. The players didn't
care. But the fans do. I don't expect the players are not trying to lose. I don't blame them, of course. They're trying to win. That's understandable. But the Jets fans, they don't care.
Yeah, well, Jets fans they're in a better position now. Well, they were always going to be in this sort of position. That's part of how I thought about it, too. It's not like, you know, the only player on the board was Trevor Lawrence, and he's not even the only quarterback on the board. And we'll see how, you know, you're right about Justin Fields against Alabama. That will be a real test because Alabama was not tested by Notre Dame, who just needs to be banned. I know, like, that it's like dunk on Dabo Swinney Day, which is taking a little bit away from dunk on Notre Dame Day. But, like, you don't have to watch a second of college football. You don't have to see any college football. You don't even have to have any general awareness of college football to know that when Notre Dame's in one of these games, they're going to get smacked. And it happened again. They're now 0-7 in BCS or New Year's Six bowl games since 1998. They've been outscored by 161 points, with all seven losses by at least 14 points each. Like, just stop putting them there. At some point, right? I mean, I know there's a lot of Notre Dame fans. I know they generate some buzz, but until they go into a conference or something and become a conference champion or something, like, how do you justify continuing to put them in there to get destroyed every single time? And it's not like we're not talking about one game anymore. We're talking about a period of years and years and years. And seven games, I've seen enough. I actually think I'm a proponent of expanding the field because the way it is, it doesn't feel like a playoff. It always and it always feels as if the national championship game, which you want to be the best, is good, but sometimes these semifinal games are not. And I think if you expanded the field, you'd get better games. You'd get a handful of better games. Doesn't mean you'd get a different champion. Doesn't mean the better teams would get in, but I think you would create a little bit more drama beforehand. You get people invested for a little bit longer. Like, the way this works is you have the ranking system and everything, and I get it. Like, the ranking system loses a little bit of its luster if you're letting in eight teams, let's say. But as is, you know, it's you have yesterday, and then that's it. And then you're on to the championship game. If you had a couple more days built in and it felt like a genuine playoff, and then some of these lesser teams or perceived lesser teams had more competitive games, you know, as you expanded the field a little bit, I think that could bring in drama. If you had a team that got in that you wouldn't have thought that got into the top four and they somehow won their first game and then you have an underdog situation, I don't know. I'm just a proponent for expanding that field as a whole to bring in more drama, because there wasn't much drama yesterday. Just gloating and mocking is basically what you're going to see for the most part. Justin Fields, did he prove he should be the Jets pick at number two? 855-212-4227. Would you like to dunk on Dabo Swinney? That is an open invitation. I think on this dunk on Dabo Swinney day, you can take your chance to put one down on the Clemson head coach. 855-212-4227. 4227. And should Notre Dame be banned from college football playoff, BCS, whatever, you know, title we're giving it nowadays, should they be banned from that sort of competition? Because we see the same thing over and over and over again every time that team is involved in a game with you know, a superior program when it comes to football. I mean, I get it. Alabama could do that to a lot of people. Devontae Smith, the beast. They could do that to a lot of people. But it just feels like it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, Notre Dame's in one of these games, and it's an automatic blowout. Automatic blowout. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's R-O-B-I-N-L-U-N-D-B-E-R-G. Going to get to plenty of NFL, a little bit of NBA maybe as well. But it is a big football day, clearly, coming off of the college football playoff and then heading into the final NFL Sunday of the season. That's crazy. The last week of the NFL season. Playoffs are almost here. I was going to say about 2020, but now that it's 2021, maybe it'll be different. But one of the side effects or the symptoms of, you know, the current state of affairs is the time just feels all weird. it feels all March, like, does March feel a long time ago or like it just happened? I don't even know when all that started. But the college football playoff is here. And the NFL playoffs are right around the corner. 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the Robin Lundberg Show. Call Robin at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. On this Dabo Swinney Day, well, dunk on Dabo Swinney Day. This is after the college football playoff yesterday. If you want to dunk on Dabo Swinney for saying Ohio State should be ranked 11th and then his team getting blown out by the Buckeyes, feel free. 855-212-4227. How about Justin Fields, quarterback of Ohio State? Should the Jets be taking him at number two? 855-212-4227. And should Notre Dame be banned from college football postseason play? Matt in Michigan. Matt, you're up first here on the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, morning, man. Longtime listener of the show. I love you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, so I get that you and a lot of other people, right, are sick of seeing Notre Dame lose. And I get it. I follow that team, and I hate seeing them get to the big stage and always blow it. But you can't say just because you're sick of seeing them that they shouldn't be allowed back in there, because frankly, they got to, like, okay, let's give Cincinnati a chance in there, right? You think that Notre Dame wouldn't beat Cincinnati or these other teams? The league is so top heavy with Alabama, with Clemson, with Ohio State. It's basically who's going to get the fourth spot, right? Mm-hmm. So give me another team, and I can probably take a guess at some other teams, but what is Notre Dame supposed to do to not earn that fourth spot? Do you not think they earned the fourth spot this year?
No, I mean, I'm more joking around about actually banning them from.
I don't think
you could do that.
Would do it for you?
I think. Well, yeah, I think that would help. But I also think they should expand the field in general, because look, it's a problem in the sport in a sense that you have these programs that are so dominant that you know they're blowing teams out, and it's like, you know, between the two or three teams every year, right? And it doesn't matter. But I think you make the playoffs a little bit more compelling if the field is larger, and that way you get more of the teams that are on Notre Dame's level in there. And I think that could probably pick it up a little bit, because, look, Notre Dame's not the only team that got blown out by Alabama, obviously, right? I understand what you're saying. And maybe – I think the tough thing for people to swallow about Notre Dame this year a little bit was they just gotten blown out a couple weeks ago as well. And that looked like the performance that may have opened the door for somebody else, and then they still got in and they got blown out again. But, I mean, yes, you can't really ban them from postseason play if their resume is good enough to get in there. But we've now seen that they're simply just not on the same tier as these other teams, and you're right. Some of those other teams probably aren't.
they can't get past a healthy Clemson team, and then this Ohio State goes and does what they did last night to Clemson. I mean, Ohio State looked about mid-season form last night, all right?
Well, they are probably about mid-season in a typical season.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. How many games have they played now? Eight?
I mean, oh, what's that, seven or eight? Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. It's not like they necessarily didn't deserve to be there. But in the spirit of – I'm also saying, you know, dunk on Dabo Swinney Day. It's not like Dabo Swinney hasn't done a good job with Clemson. But when you say what you say, you reap the consequences a little bit. And with Notre Dame, I mean, it's not a good look when you keep getting to the highest profile stage, and every time you're on that highest profile stage, the same outcome happens. And I think that's, you know, what people latch onto, especially when you're a team that's talked about a little bit more. I mean, Texas A&M got destroyed by Alabama as well. Was that 52-24? I think they were the 13th ranked team or something like that. So, Notre Dame is not alone. Notre Dame is not alone. Florida just played them a lot tougher, though. So it's hard to see, you know, could some of these games teams have played them tougher? I mean, it's difficult to not play them a little bit tougher. How about Josh in South Carolina? Josh, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, fellas. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man.
You know, we were talking about Dabo Swinney and, you know, what he said. But my thing is, you know, I see a lot of people bashing him for, you know, the fact that they did get blown out. But I'm pretty sure whenever he said that, he even mentioned that Ohio State could probably beat them. But the principle of the fact is, Ohio State only played six games in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it seems almost as if you have to draw a line at some point of when you're letting people in. I mean, I understand this year was a weird year, you know, but who did Ohio State play? Not really who they played, but, you know, all these teams are playing 11 games, you know, and then you see a team like Ohio State come in, and they're not really playing a lot of games. But it's almost as if you're penalizing these other teams.
By letting the better team in? I mean, here's the thing. All right, the goal is to select the four best teams, right? Isn't that the goal? Like, I would agree. I agree with the logic that Ohio State has an advantage having to only play that many games. I mean, you look at they're 7-0 overall now, right? 5-0 in the conference. They had an advantage in that sense. That's just the truth of the matter, because you're not getting beat up, you're not going through the typical grind. But if the goal is to play or to pick the four best teams, they were clearly amongst the four best teams. And Dabo Swinney can, you know, if he hadn't put a number on it, I think he'd be okay. I think if he said that comment, I think most people would agree with that, like, that logic. If he had said, hey, that Ohio State has an advantage, you know, some of us have gone out there and had to play longer seasons to earn this, and they didn't have to put in the same sort of work that we did. If he said that, I think he'd be okay. The fact that he said number 11 is why people are laughing at him today, because he ranked them number 11, and you got to remove, you might have to remove one of those ones by the end of the season.
Quite frankly, I think after watching the Cincinnati-Georgia game, Cincinnati would have been an interesting opponent in the playoffs as well, but...
Yeah, I mean, look, there are plenty of teams that are right on that cusp that can't be much different quality-wise than Notre Dame. And that's why, again, I believe in expanding it, just because you – for a couple reasons, and thanks for the call. I believe in expanding it for – one, you expand the interest in your sport around that time period. It's not just like it's New Year's Day and then it's gone until you get to the actual championship game. Two – You do get more teams in there to get a good, you know, a chance for programs that may have been underestimated to play well, which can just up the drama. And three, you're likely to get more competitive playoff games when not everybody has to play Clemson, Ohio State, or Alabama, right? I mean, you have eight teams, you're going to have some other teams playing each other other than those teams. Well, at least one other game by the math. I mean, the overall biggest issue is, for as much as people complain about dynasties in other sports or dominance in other sport and they want parity, I mean, you've got a couple of teams that routinely dominate, just absolutely dominate the college football landscape. And we saw that again yesterday. Ohio State and Alabama, look, it should lead to a quality national championship game. That's for sure. But there's no drama in the playoff yesterday. And, you know, that's another reason it's an easy thing to jump on Dabo Swinney today. Because that's the, you know, yeah, even LeBron James dunking on him on Twitter yesterday.
Robin Lundberg, CBS Sports Radio, and you. Let the fun begin. Here's Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Talking a little college football this morning, appropriately so, given that yesterday was the college football playoff. Ohio State all over Clemson. Alabama blows out Notre Dame. What are your takeaways? Ohio State, you know, the 11th ranked team, according to Dabo Swinney, or the 11th. Well, he didn't say 11th best. He did say 11th ranked team. Their quarterback moving up the draft rankings. His draft stock doing a lot better than his ribs at the moment. And then Notre Dame just continuously showing up in these games and being shown up in these games. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Gary in Jacksonville. Gary, you're on the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Gary?
Happy New Year to you, Robin.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. I wanted to touch on the Dolphins a little bit, playing Buffalo tomorrow. When they played the first time, the Dolphins only lost by a field goal and had to leave late in the third quarter. I think they can do it. I think Tua knows that he doesn't have, Ryan Fitzmagic to lean on. So he's going to come out, I think, and have a huge game. I just think the way that the Miracle win against the Raiders, I just don't see them falling flat the last week with the chance to control their own destiny and make the playoffs.
Well, the Dolphins are in a pretty good situation, and we're going to get to them in a little bit because they only need to win any of those other teams. I think I have to look at the exact scenarios, but I'm pretty sure it's something along the lines of if any of those other wild card teams lose, they're in as well. So, they're in a pretty strong position. I think if Baltimore loses, they're in. If Cleveland loses, they're in. If Indy loses, they're in. Or if they win, they're in. That's a lot of scenarios for Miami to get in. Their odds are probably somewhere in the 80% chance range, 80-something percent chance range that they're going to get in. And then Buffalo, I don't really know what Buffalo is playing for at the moment. I mean, home field's sewing, that sort of thing up. But the Chiefs have that throughout the playoffs. What's the advantage there? I know Bills are going to get some fans in the building. Overall, yeah, I agree with you. I think Miami will either take care of business or someone will take care of business for them to get them into the playoffs. I'm curious if you're still on the line.
Yes.
With Fitzpatrick out of there, what are your thoughts as a fan of how Flores has handled that whole situation when he does bring in Fitzpatrick in relief?
Well, if the guy's not getting the job, his job is to look after the other 52 guys. He's the coach of the whole team. And I figured there would be times that Tua would struggle because of the hip injury and stuff but I still have great confidence in him. And what about this, Robin? They have the third pick in the draft with quarterbacks possibly going 1 and 2. They could end up with Devontae Smith in the draft.
I mean, yeah, there's other good players that aren't quarterbacks, right? And thanks for the call. I mean, Miami's in a pretty good spot. It does come down to Tua in a lot of ways and how good he actually is. He has not played great thus far, but he's limited turnovers. That's one thing he's done very well. Likely to improve, of course. The whole thing with benching him, I know a lot of people don't like it. I kind of find it interesting because it's a little unconventional. And Flores keeps going back to it. Now that Fitzpatrick has COVID, though, we'll see if that's the case for the playoffs. But I wouldn't, you know, if he's going to do it in a regular season game, why wouldn't he do it in the playoff game? I do think Tua bounced back pretty well the first time it happened, but he's in the full driver's seat for this weekend's game against the Buffalo Bills, who are probably the biggest threat to the Chiefs, if not the best team in the NFL at this very moment. Let's go to Terry in Knoxville. Terry, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Terry?
What up, man? Happy
How are
New
you?
Year. I am blessed, my friend, and I am super blessed with, like, the Buckeyes busting Clemson's head. Now, I got a question for Trasho. Trasho, he needs to know what six he was talking about, the six touchdown passes that Fields put up on his defense, or was the six wins that we took to bust their head. Whichever one he wants, I don't care. His
wait,
really
was he talking about – by Trasho, you mean Dabo. Was he talking about six? When did he say six? What do you mean six?
He was saying that six wasn't enough games. He ain't
six games. Gotcha. Okay.
Because all he got is six games to look at. He don't have a long film time. Okay?
Gotcha.
That's right, buddy. Don't worry about it. Take this L and shut up. Now, let's move on to Alabama. All my brothers, my wife is from Alabama. All her, six of her seven brothers are all Alabama fans. I'm telling you right.
Uh-oh. Wifey got a hold of the phone? Or one of her brothers? Sounds like his wife or one of her brothers got the. You're there. I thought they silenced you before you could trash talk Alabama. Go ahead.
Oh, no, here it is. you tell Nick Saban to shut his mouth up because we're going to bust him by 18. I ain't worried about Nick Saban or none of the rest of them folks. We coming out to ball. Did you see Phil's laser focus? That's balling, baby. We ready to roll. And you can tell everybody here in Tennessee and everywhere else that Buckeye Terry stands on it, 18-plus points, and we're going to bust that shit.
Buckeye Terry, did he just censor himself? Appreciate the comment. Or is he just having phone problems overall? Buckeye Terry's ready. 18 points. I don't think the spread is going to be Ohio State minus 18. I can tell you that much. Ohio State, though, look, they've been impressive this season. It's funny when the season was off to the pump fake and everything. It was Fields and Trevor Lawrence who I remember being the voices who were most prominent from the player side of things and trying to make sure that they had a season. And they are, just like, you know, a lot of these other sports, going to get through the season. College football was always the one I felt a little different about, just because I'm not saying they shouldn't have played. That was never my position either, that, you know, just purely they shouldn't have played. But it was the one that made me uneasy, simply because, you know, of the nature of the circumstances. They're not professional athletes. Right now, the opening line for the championship game, at least on my sports betting app, is Alabama minus 7. So Ohio State is 7-point favorite. So if Buckeye Terry thinks they're going to win by 18, that Ohio State money line must look pretty good to a lot of people. How about Steve in Alabama? Steve, you're up next here on the Rock Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm a big Notre Dame fan. And I think that they should be in the playoffs because of they have a good regular season schedule. And I just think Alabama just has good talent, but they don't have any coaching. Now, listen to what you have to say about that, please, sir.
Wait, they have good talent and no coaching?
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, look, first of all, in college football, half the game, if not more, is the coaching recruiting. And they have good talent because of what they've done and accomplished. Nick Saban's obviously not even just a good coach at this point. He's a legendary coach, right? Is he my favorite guy in the world? No. You know, he can be surly and all that stuff. And yes, it's easier when you have the top talent, but when you've accomplished what he's accomplished, you can't really disparage or discredit the man's resume. He's you know, one of the all-time great college coaches in history, even if you could pick apart one game plan here or there at some point. So you can't say they don't have good coaching. As far as Notre Dame, the question was never whether Notre Dame really deserved to be in there, though. I think you could have made the case that when they got blown out by Clemson that second time around, that should have knocked them out and give someone else a crack, only because you knew what was going to happen with Notre Dame. I mean, is there anybody that didn't know Notre Dame was going to get blown out of that game? Look what the spread was. They covered the freaking spread. Or they beat the spread.
And I'm sorry, like, we can't forget about that first game, the fact that Trevor Lawrence was not there. Like, I'm sorry, like, maybe like the best player in the country is not playing along with some other injuries to the team at the time. I mean, I'm sorry, like, I can't just totally, you know, dismiss that. Like, yeah, that happened. I know they beat Clemson, but, you know, they were without the best player in the country.
And then the second time around when he was there, they smoked him. I mean, like, I think it was an 18.5-point spread. And they lose by seven. It wound up being 17 points. It wasn't that close. So when you go in and it, you know, and again, I know a lot of teams would have been, you know, dogs like that, but we've now seen it on a number of occasions, dating back almost 20 something years. Like, it's just like enough. And I don't know what you do about it. There's not really anything you could do about it unless you say Notre Dame has to join a conference and win a conference championship to get in, or you expand the playoff field. But you don't have to know anything about college football, and you would have known Notre Dame was going to get blown out of that game. How about Antonio in Oakland? Antonio, you're up next here on the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, Robin, happy New Year, man. Wish you good 2021, man. Hey,
same to you, dude.
Thank you. Hey, what's number 47? How do you pronounce number 47 on Clemson, his last name? I 2 years in a row, I love what college football does, you know, where they have I guess their penalties a little. And folks out there, I apologize. We don't follow college as much as I'd like to, especially this year. It was a little difficult. So they get a different penalty. So they call it targeting. In the NFL, you get one target and you can get thrown out, or – what's the rule on that one? That kid got thrown out, so I don't think that was a game changer. Obviously, I think Fields made himself about $20 million last night. But what is the official rule on that call?
Oh, he was tossed from the game. I have to, as far as pronunciation and everything, I have to make sure I'm 100% correct on that as well. He was tossed from the game for the targeting hit that you're referencing with Fields right in the ribs. That was the shot that hurt him and showed Justin Fields play through it, and he got a lot of praise for that. The targeting in college football has been a subject of conversation for a while now, because some of those plays, including the one last night, just didn't look like anything that wasn't within the realm of how you would normally tackle, right? I mean, the kind of shot that you just look like a natural tackle, though it happened to be a hard hit. College football rules dictate that if a player leads with the crown of his helmet while making contact, it's targeting. And that is why he was ejected. And you get ejected, according to the rule book, he's supposed to be ejected.
Is that kid going to be an NFL player for sure?
I'm not a pro scout on the college level. That's not my area of expertise, so I'm not gonna, you know, when I'm ignorant on something, I'll let you know. I'm not the perfect guy to ask for that. As far as the play itself, though, that's what happened on that play, and that's why he was tossed.
I got you. Hey, a couple real quick NBA takes, man. That Trae Young looks unbelievable again. They beat not my team. I'm a Warrior fan, but, you know, my undercover team, Brooklyn, and KD looks the part, man. So real quick comment on that, and happy to get good. Have a good 2021. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you. You know, I appreciate it. Trae Young has talent around him now in the NBA. And it looks like, you know, the linebacker Skalski is projected to go in the draft at some point, by the way. Trae Young is... His first couple of years in the league, Atlanta didn't have anything. They were a terrible team. And watching the Hawks the last couple of games, I've been really impressed. I think Atlanta could be one of the best teams in the East. I think that's the kind of leap they may have taken. They have a lot of good players on that team now. You know, they drafted a bunch of players over the years. You forget that they just, like, started piling up draft picks and making them every year. So, you know, they have DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish and Kevin Herter and those guys that they drafted who are starting to develop a little bit, having played in the league a little bit longer. Trae Young is obviously brilliant. Then they got Bogdanović, which was a big loss for Milwaukee, I think. Bogdanović is fearless. Gallinari, they brought in. John Collins is a beast. He has really developed for them and has started to refine his game in a way that makes him more of a fit because he's starting to spread the floor a little bit more. But he really attacks the basket. So they've got three-point shooting. They've got offensive rebounding. They've got Trae Young. And the one nitpicky thing is Trae Young keeps doing this move where he navigates himself into the lane and stops short so that the defender who's chasing him on his hip bumps into him, and he draws the foul over and over again. It's very like it's his own Harden-esque thing. Steve Nash the other night called it not basketball, and it is annoying. And watch that become something that aggravates people about Trae Young coming up because it's almost his go-to move is to draw a foul. And that's not a fun thing to watch. As far as Kevin Durant, yeah, Kevin Durant looks fully healthy. The Nets have a few other things they need to address, but Kevin Durant's not one of them. And that was the big question coming in. And when you have a player that's as good as he is and as good as Kyrie Irving is, you're generally going to be in good shape over the course of the season. But it is good to see KD back and looking like KD again. 855-212-4227. You can weigh in on the college football topics at 855-212-4227. Plus, we'll get into the NFL coming up next. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.